2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 through 16. We studied one verse last week. We got through it, one verse. And we, along with the Corinthians, were told to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit in the fear of the Lord. It's an ongoing battle in our lives to lay aside the desires, even whims of the flesh. The world has a philosophy, and it says, if it feels good, do it. Boy, those are words to die by, not live by. And because of this philosophy, rampant sexual diseases exist because, hey, feels good, do it. And the Christian church and many congregations, unfortunately, are taking on the world, and really we're not separate from the world, perhaps as we should be. We're to be called out. We're to be separate from our society that we live in. Within the church, cohabitation before marriage is about the same as our society around us. Divorce among Christians is about the same rate as divorce in our society. But Paul, he writes a letter to the Corinthian, and he tells them, he needs to purify himself, and he needs other Christians that will read his letter to purify themselves to the point of repentance. Repent from sin and turn away from it. And Paul, with a heart of love for the Corinthians, and with a heart that is dedicated to his Lord, and he says to the Corinthians, open your heart to us. Listen to us. We're going to give you the heart of God. And so we read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and it's Paul telling us about himself and about the Corinthians. So, verse 2. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one, and we have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and live together. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourself, what indignation, what fear, What vehement desires, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, not for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Paul is being about as open as you can get to the Corinthians. And he will encourage them with his attitude and his ministry before him. He says, we have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. Paul, he stands before the Corinthians without guilt. He opens up his heart and he said, I've been forthright in presenting God's word to you. And he says, also the other apostle with me. And he's talking about Titus. Paul, unlike many preachers of today, was guiltless in his conduct. Paul was not about being wealthy. He didn't want to profit off of the Corinthians. And now, as you know, I'm a cattleman. Yeah, I got 10 cows. They're Black Angus and Baldies. But my goal as a beef grower, you might say, is to present quality beef at a reasonable cost. And that is becoming more and more problematic as you deal with people and slaughterhouses and all these different things. But I honestly try to provide good beef at a reasonable cost. And that's not always so easy in these times of inflation, because everything seems to be going up. But I want to serve my customers and not do wrong to anyone. I don't want anyone to come away that has bought any beef from me and say, well, it was bad beef or he cheated me on this deal. That would probably put me out of business. I couldn't handle it. But Paul is speaking of his ministry. He's not speaking about making money. And he says, have a good reputation. And he says this from a heart of love towards the Corinthians. Paul is pleading with the Corinthians. He says, open up your heart to us. Come on, let's have fellowship. Paul had found the Corinthians, some of them, I don't know if it was all of them, they had a hard heart towards Paul. And he exhorts them, close your heart to the world, but open your heart to me. I'm here for your benefit. Paul's desire was for an open, loving relationship with the Corinthians. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he gives them some good advice. And some of that good advice was, do not be unequally yoked to unbelievers. Now, that's good advice. We could all give that to any of our friend or our children, perhaps. And he says, I have loved you. Now open your heart to love us and let us have true fellowship. And he said, I am constantly found boasting about you to others. Recently, a couple, 3 weeks ago, we had Carl Peetz in here, a friend of mine, to preach, and he preached on the book of Ruth. My boast to him was, we have a good core group of believers here, and that is true. And you are an encouragement to Lori and myself. And Paul speaks of his troubles, the outward part of his life, complete, but on the inside were fears. We don't think of Paul having fears. But Paul endured the same emotions that you and I endure. And today, I think one of the fears that we face together is inflation. A small thing, but we can find ourselves worrying about how to have money to do the things that we need to do. And our money is being dwindled in losing value right before our eyes. And for anyone on a fixed income, this can become a great concern. Give you an example. I recently had to buy a battery for my pickup truck. It only cost $261. And I staggered. I said, what? The last time I bought a battery, it was about $125, but this was $261 for a battery. But what can you do? You got to have one. Then we read and hear the news of China sending spy balloons across Alaska, down through Canada, and across the U.S., and how our heroic military shot down these balloons. After they shot them down off the coast, after they had crossed the United States gathering information. But according to China, these were weather balloons and nothing else. Okay. I hope our leaders don't believe that. But back to Paul. He's openly confronted by the Corinthians, and he's coming to his fellow apostle Titus, and he says, Titus had come to me in his distress when he was in Macedonia. It was Titus who brought a good report about you Corinthians, and Paul needed to hear that good report. He needed to hear that his ministry wasn't a failure. And we think of Paul the apostle, and he needed to be encouraged. But the Corinthians, they had not forsaken Paul. They had not forsaken his message of Jesus Christ. And Titus' report encouraged and was a great comfort to Paul. Now Paul, he will expose his heart towards the Corinthians. He wrote them a letter, and then this letter is perhaps one that got lost somewhere, but it was a hard, severe letter that he wrote to them, and he said, I'm afraid I made you sorrowful. Not to the point of just feeling bad, but their sorrow led to them repenting. And repentance, in Paul's opinion, was necessary, not only for the Corinthians, but in all of us Christians. Repentance brings a clear and clean conscience to us. Have you ever gone to bed at night and you're laying there and you're not a bit restful, you're kind of troubled? And when I go to bed and I'm troubled, I begin to go through my day. What have I done today? What has my day been like? And then I begin to ask the Lord, have I offended someone unnecessarily? Have I been a bad example of your love, Jesus? And this letter that was brought to Paul that Paul sent to the Corinthians through Titus is not necessarily the second book of the Corinthians. And Paul was severe in that letter. And it was delivered and read to them by Titus. And Paul had concerns how the Corinthians received this strict letter from him that was read by Titus. And he says, I regretted that it made you sorrowful, but yet I felt compelled to write it to you. I had to be severe in my letter to you. And he says, it's a good thing that I was, because it brought forth repentance in you Corinthians. Repentance brings a passing of our guilt, brings us a clean conscience, and establishes us in peace before our Lord. Here's the unfortunate part. I find I have to repent quite often. I know, I'm pastor, but I repent all the time. And I want my relationship with my Lord to be clean. I want it to be one of fellowship with my Lord. And many times I'm guilty of speaking severe words that have no thought behind them. I just spout out. And they can be idle words or even worse, words from a fleshly heart and mind. And we only need to look at Peter and Judas as examples of men who needed to repent. Peter repented, and he was restored. Judas felt sorrowful for his betraying of Jesus, but he did not repent. Judas didn't repent, and so there was no place found for Judas. But I often say, repentance, it's a good thing. For I must no longer continue in my sin. I'm allowed to repent. I'm allowed to turn from it. And so I encourage repentance whenever we sin, and unfortunately, we do sin. Turn from sin, turn from the guilt of sin by repentance. Now let's read the remaining 4 or 5 verses here of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. If in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you, for he remembers the obedience of you all, and how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore I rejoice, and I have confidence in you in everything. Paul is comforted that the Corinthians repented and let Titus know how much they liked Paul. Titus is reporting back to Paul, and it's a good report. Paul is glad, and he's comforted by this. And he's even refreshed. Repentance brings refreshing. Paul is happy that the Corinthians were hospitable to Titus. That pleases him. And Paul was found to boast of the obedience and love that they showed towards Titus. When Paul hears of the Corinthians receiving Titus in Christian love, he is blessed by that. He is pleased by that. One thing that brings me joy from you as a congregation is how you love and meet the needs of fellow Christians here. And that does my heart good. It brings me joy. And for me to see this and witness this as you take care and love one another, it blesses me. Paul, he is seeing the maturity and care demonstrated by the Corinthians. And he had some questions that puzzled him about the Corinthians' behavior. But Paul is like a proud father. He notices the concern and love of the fellowship that the Corinthians had towards his fellow apostle Titus. back to Carl Peetz, who was here 3 or 4 weeks ago. He went about 20 minutes longer than I go. But you were patient with him. And it taught the entire book of Ruth in one sitting. More than I could do. And one person commented to me, he preached for an hour. My response is, yeah, but he covered 4 chapters. And it was a good teaching. But I was pleased at the reception that you folks gave Carl Peetz, a friend of mine. It pleased me. And Paul is blessed by the Corinthians receiving Titus with kindness, fear, and trembling, and he's pleased with them. What a blessing it is for us to love one another and receive one another simply as a fellow Christian because we believe the same. What we believe matters, and it's always encouraging for us when we find another Christian who believes as we believe. And so you bless me that way. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. I covered a full chapter almost, except for one verse. Father God, thank you for fellowship of fellow believers. We get to encourage one another. We get to come alongside one another. We get to pray for one another. We get to meet the needs that are out there within the body of Christ. And Lord, you told us we'd be known by our love. And Lord, we see our love being returned. And we're blessed by the fact that there's others who believe and care just like we do. So we thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. The body who loves and takes care of one another. And Lord, may we always appreciate you. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've took care of us. You've provided for us, Lord. You've healed us when we're sick. You've mended our bodies. You've been a faithful, good God to us. And for that, we give you thanks. And Lord, let us continue to love one another as you love us. Let us be known for our love towards one another. And we pray for this and ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.